So, most of you here don't know me at all. A couple of you know a little bit about me, and if you read your emails, you would know exactly who I am. If you haven't checked your email as well, then too bad. I'm a person who really loves filling her life with people and with learning new things. And I'm constantly busy doing something. If you ask my friends to describe me, they'd probably have the word busy in that description. Personally, I describe my life as full. Sometimes it can be a little bit too full, and I usually spend my whole life trying to get one thing done, only to find once that's finished, I've got a whole other thing I haven't even started, and I'm consistently chasing my tail. Do you guys understand that? Do you feel that? No, never, Peter? Oh, it's a shame. For those of you who have kids as well, all respect goes to you. I don't know how you do your life and your kids' lives and everything else in between. Let me introduce you to my son. This here, that's going to work for me, is Rory. Yes, it's Rory, spelled like the lion's roar. This is my baby. He's very much like a teenage boy. Well, he'll come in, demand to be fed. I won't see him for 8 hours, and he'll demand dinner. I won't see him till the next morning when he wants more food again. That's all he wants from me. And occasionally a hug. I also have kids that I teach in a primary school. And so this is just some of them, and I teach music in classrooms. I also have 45 students that I teach in my piano studio at home. I can't call them my kids, though, because over 15 of them are older than I am. Better not call them kids. And that's some of them there. It was dress-up day that day. Yeah. Bit of a crazy bunch. So alongside that, I'm a worship leader at Mount Hawthorne Baptist, just up the road. I also attend Vaux Seminary, and I haven't even told you about home group commitments, the hobbies that I do, my composition, which I love doing, and hopefully by that you can see I'm a very busy person. It's quite full. And I look at it and go, right, that's where my time goes. And I'm only 22. So have a quick mental flick through your own lives. How much are you filling your life up with? Are you doing a little bit too much? Are you filling up with things, surface things, like attending home groups and helping out at church and studying the Bible and volunteering? Is it filled with your kids, where you're doing after-school activities and cooking the meals and keeping up their lives, let alone your own work and church and everything else you've got to do? And I'm not saying any of this is a bad thing. I'm just saying we might need to readjust where we're coming from. Because I know that if my life is packed full, yours must be even more so. Because as we get older, we don't get better at doing less, we get better at packing more things in. And are we packing full of the right kind of stuff, or do we need to start unpacking things? So what I'm about to share with you today is not anything new that you haven't heard before. And I know I'm only 22, so it's a bit rich coming from me sometimes, but I hope that it's a reminder to some of you, probably 80% of you, to just have a look at where your life is at. And to the 20% who say, nah, I'm all good, I would encourage you to keep this message in mind, because there will come a day where you might need to look at it again. So, let's delve right in. You've already heard Luke 10, 38 to 42. I'll be reading it as I go along. So we know this is Martha and Mary's story. And in a brief overview, it's Jesus coming to a house with his two sisters. One is running around ragged, trying to get things done, and the other just stops and sits at Jesus' feet. Some of the context surrounding this story comes smack bang in the middle of two very important and well-known stories. Has everyone heard of the Good Samaritan? Yes. And the Lord's Prayer? Yes. And this story sits right in the middle of the two of them. Like any author, Luke is very selective in what he puts in and what he keeps out. He doesn't tell us what Jesus ate for breakfast that day. He doesn't tell us how many times he bathed that week, or that month, or that year for that matter, because it's not important, it's information that's important to us. So it's safe to assume that he includes these three things together for a purpose. And I'm suggesting today is looking at the three different key aspects of our relationship to God. And I did a pie graph for you. Now, the Good Samaritan looks at how we treat our neighbours. Mary and Martha looks at how we view one another in our time with the Lord. And the Lord's Prayer looks at how we engage in our dialogue. And I'm not trying to argue here all forms of discipleship. I'm not trying to look at every angle. I'm not trying to say which one should be more of the other. I'm just trying to show that these three things are interlinking. And if one is lacking, we may need to work on it. So the focus today is on how we spend our time with God. And this will be the key to unlocking the passion that we need for treating our neighbours. And it's the key to a better prayer life, so that we can pray directly from our heart, not just that shallowness of, yeah, thank you, Lord. So it comes into where Jesus says in verse 38, sorry, Luke says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. We're going to start here looking at Mary. I don't know about you, but this image, Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, brings to mind a really sweet, innocent girl looking up in adoration at her father. And I think that's kind of a rough view of her, because she had to be so strong to sit there. She was going against all social decorum. Everything that was meant to be placed on her, she went, nah, I'm just going to sit here. And she's a very silent character in the story, and that's a good reflection on her, because she just listened. In the Middle East, for those who don't know, for someone to sit at the feet of a rabbi meant they were a disciple of the rabbi. So by Mary sitting there, she became a disciple of Jesus. If you look here, these are my year ones, and that's their teacher Megan with the caterpillar around her neck. Now these kids are students. They're sitting at the feet of their teacher. They're there to learn and to grow. And that was the exact way that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Maybe that's why Jesus says in Matthew 19, let the children come to me, don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Just a thought. And as we're about to see, Martha becomes very upset at Mary sitting there, and it's not because she wants help peeling those potatoes in the kitchen. It's, according to Bailey, because in the Middle Eastern culture, Martha was so scared that her little sister was sitting at the feet in a man's spot. There were women quarters and men quarters, and Mary had put herself firmly into the men's section, and that was going to bring shame on her family, dishonor to the name. What would her family think? What would her neighbors think? Who's going to marry Mary now? Martha's got all these thoughts running through her head, and Mary, on the other hand, she cared more about what Jesus thought than what anyone else did. Martha, by contrast, was thinking way too much about what everyone else thought and the social etiquette that she was to follow. And it says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And I found this part really quite interesting. In Greek, now excuse me, I'm a Hebrew scholar, a Hebrew student. I don't know my Greek, so if anyone knows Greek and can pronounce these words for me, please do. So I'm going to give it my best shot. Perispeito, I think, means distracted. So it means to literally be dragged away by something. And then you have diaconium, which is the preparations word that we have in that verse. And it means the service or ministry. So Martha was dragged away by her ministry, by her serving. For me, that hit a real sour nerve, because I'm someone who likes to do a lot of things. I'm constantly trying to minister for others. I'm trying to show them the kingdom of God. I am studying for my bachelor. If I'm not studying, I'm prepping for Sunday's worship. If I'm not doing that, I'm preparing for home group, or I'm ministering to kids, or I'm praying for someone else. And it's not a bad thing until it pulls us away from the one thing that we should be doing. And I sometimes find that when I'm so busy, it's my prayer time that suffers the most. Because a quiet time in the morning gets pulled down to a very quick uttered prayer as I run out the door. I found this sign. And it says, when you're faced with a busy day, save precious time by skipping your devotions. Signed, Satan. It's so true. I don't know if you guys have felt that. If you're so busy, you just run out the door and then you go, oops, I haven't even prayed today. Oh, I'll leave it for later on. Get to the end of the day. Oops, I didn't pray. Oh, that doesn't matter. I'll pray tomorrow morning. And it just continues. I'll let you keep that in mind. What's worse in this story is that Martha isn't just distracted. She actually comes up and she accuses Jesus and she demands things from him. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, this accusation of Jesus not caring, I just wanted to pause briefly on this, because sometimes in our lives, and I don't know where you're all at today, but it may feel that way. Lord, do you not care? This is where I'm at. Lord, do you not care? Do you not see? And we all know the Easter story. We all know that there's a Son of God who came to die on the cross for us. But when I hear that year after year after year, it kind of loses its power. And I wanted to just recap that today, because to me the imagery is so much greater than just, oh, he came to die for our sins. To me, it's that punishment that should have been put on my head. All those horrible things that I've done, and I'm sure I've got plenty to go. All those things, everything I should have been punished for, Jesus wore on his back in the lashes that he was given, in the crown of thorns that was shoved onto his head, in the nails that were pushed into his hands as he hung on that cross and suffocated for me. That's huge. To me, that just stirs something in me, that he died to save me. So he definitely, definitely cares. And often in our pain and our frustration, we cry out, Lord, do you not care? And I just wanted to remind you today that if you're in that state, it's okay to cry those words, but know that he definitely cares for you. And you see here that Martha is pouring out her pain and her frustration. She's fearful for her sister. What's going to happen to her? So, Lord, do you not care? But then she goes on to say, but let me tell you how you can fix this. I'll instruct you in this. And of course, we do this quite often. Or maybe it's just me, but often I go, Lord, you know what? This isn't working out. You don't need to change me anymore. I'm refined enough. Change their heart. Change their lives. Do something to them. Or, Lord, look, I will do this for you, but can you do this for me first, please? I'll handle it, but can you do this first? We try and instruct God. Or maybe it's just me. If you do it as well, can you please nod or do something so I can see that you're still in this? Thank you. So Martha goes on. And her speech, if you look at it, is entirely about her. You can see they've got the my, me, myself, four times, all about her. And yeah, she refers to Jesus as Lord, brownie points there, but she's only concerned to gain his assistance in her plans, not to learn from his. She wants his help and his blessing on what she wants to do, as opposed to listening to what he wants her to do. The New Interpreter's Bible Commentary suggests that Martha was like the seed that fell among the thorns that was in a parable just previous in Luke. It was about those who do not receive the word because they are preoccupied and choked up by other things. And I know personally I saw that verse and thought it referred to being choked by worldviews and other morals that weren't like us. You know, the sex, drugs and rock and roll part. That's what I thought being choked by was. What if it also meant being choked by duties? By other things that we place on ourselves that push us down that we no longer have time to stop. It says in Luke 10:27, we read it at the beginning, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, he clearly wants us to serve. That Good Samaritan story is directly before this, and it's a clear discussion of how we're meant to serve and love. This verse here tells us to love God first, before anything else, because it's his love that sustains us. Because the Good Samaritan, that exemplifies the discipleship of seeing and of hearing, and Mary exemplifies the virtue of hearing, seeing in action was this one. Mary shows the overriding importance of going to Jesus, to God first. And we need both. A lot of people try and do one or the other, and don't know which one to go first to. But that tension that's held there, do we serve or do we stop, or what do we do? That's a good tension, because it keeps us coming back to God, to the main source. And it says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Disciples often need more discernment, not more vigorous work. And you'll see in the story, Mary actually stopped. She didn't just, you know, potter around dusting and, oh, yes, dear, I'm listening to you, and just keep going around. She actually stopped and listened. And Jesus actually said, this is what you're meant to be doing. And Martha, slow down. Now, Martha could have been listening as she was moving around the place, but she didn't stop. And it reminds me of this story by Chuck Swindoll. And it's called Hurry Up Listening. I thought it was very cute, so I thought I'd share it with you today. He writes in his journal, I have been intense through the evening meal. In fact, I've been intense since arriving home. My packed-out schedule had me on rocket-powered roller skates all day long, and my momentum kept me in hurry-up mode well into the evening. So, I was talking fast, and I was spitting out one-word answers, and I was barking commands, and I was doing this and doing that, and in the midst of my hurried exchange with Cynthia, our daughter Colleen caught up with me, wanting to tell me something about her day. Picking up on my urgency, she said, Daddy, I want to tell you something about school, and I'll talk real fast. I'll tell you real quick. I won't take much time. I promise I'll talk real, real fast. I took a deep breath and said, Now, wait a minute.
Hold on. Talk slowly. She looked at me with her little girl intensity and said, Well, Daddy, then listen slowly. The mouth of babes, I thought was very cute. My question to you is, do you allow enough time to listen slowly to God? So I've got some homework for you before I give you my final thoughts. Because I'm a teacher, I love giving out homework, it's part of the job, it's wonderful fun. Firstly, pray. This week, ask God if you're actually spending too much time doing stuff as opposed to stopping and listening, or whether you're doing too much stopping and not enough action. And secondly, set a time this week, 7 days worth, once a day. Set an alarm on your phone or set a time after dinner, whatever it might be, where you're just going to sit down and do nothing and just listen. It could be in the shower, that's when you get your quiet time, that's fine. It could be in the car with the radio off. Just what I mean by listening is giving yourself the time to hear. We can't box God in and say, okay, it's 5 p.m. and talk. Well, you missed your cue, I'll come back in 10 minutes. It doesn't work. We can't box God into that. But if you start with little, a lot of times, it'll slowly infiltrate into other parts of your life. It'll become a habit that you'll keep. And you'll eventually start listening, discerning, becoming aware of God's voice, and actually learning what it is to hear God speak. So let me just do a demonstration for you. Who can I pick on? Who wants to be picked on today? You all look very scared of me. All right. I've got a job for someone. I'm going to pick on right here. So, I'm going to have to yell. You can stay there for me. I'm going to get everyone else to join in as well. It's not just her. You're all going to be involved. What I want you to do, I've got 3 jobs for you and you've got 10 seconds to do them in. You have to name, you have to name the song you're going to be listening to. You have to write me a sentence about dogs. And you have to listen to what I'm telling you up there. You've got 10 seconds. These are your instructions here. Meantime, I'm going to play a song here. Meantime, everyone else, I'm going to want you to stand when I get you to and just yell things at her and distract her and get in her way and don't let her complete the action, okay? Can you guys manage that for me? It's like it's 10 seconds of scariness. There's your pen. Here's your headphones.
So everything is on this.
Everything. All I want you to do is just those 3 things. So here's your headphones.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. I'm going to everyone else to stand first. Okay. Are you guys ready? Can you please stand up and distract? Go. John 3:16 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And all your life. And stop. And your time's up. Thank you. Thank you for that. Please give her a round of applause. She did well then. So, how'd you find that? Scary?
Scary trying to figure out what it was. I'm no good at songs.
No, that's fine. So, she was completely distracted by lots and lots of things, bombarded by people, by noise, by music, by having to do something, by trying to listen to me, which she completely forgot about as well. When there's so much going on, we get so distracted. Thank you for proving my point that we can't actually accomplish things when we are that distracted. When we have kids in particular, because hey, when you've got kids, they kind of take up your entire life, from what I've seen anyway. And when that happens, and then you've got your husband who wants you, or your wife that wants you, or people at work that want you, all this stuff that's going on, and Jesus meantime is going, I want to speak to you. Hi. And we can't hear him. If God was going to speak to you today, would he be able to get through the noise? Because he is consistently trying to speak in all the different things around you. Would he be heard above the noise surrounding your life? Or do you have TV and Facebook for the young ones? And any other kind of social media? Other things that are crowding in? Mary, she chose to let nothing else distract her. Not even the crying of a baby. Not even anything else that's happening in the world. She decided to just sit and listen. Because she knew that his wisdom, Jesus' wisdom, was better than her own. And sometimes we just need to learn to say no to things.
And I had to learn it this week myself when I was preparing for the sermon. This has been the busiest week I've had in a very, very long time. And I had to learn to say no to a lot of things because I knew the most important relationship that I can cultivate is this one. As parents and as teachers and as pastors and servants and leaders, we spend so much time doing things in the name of service that we take very little time to actually replenish. And if you think you have enough time and you're doing really well, ask your spouse. Ask your friends. Ask those who are honest with you. Are you grumpy all the time or are you happy? Are you good in your prayer life or are you not? Help, get someone else to help reassess. Because how can we constantly expect ourselves to give if we've got nothing to give from? Because this story here, it wasn't meant to teach you the difference or the value of a contemplated life as compared to a life of action. It was to show that the service to Jesus must not fill people's lives to such an extent that they have no time to learn from him. We examined at the very beginning how this story nestled in between the Good Samaritan and the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus clearly upholds service and action as well as a good solid prayer time. To the lawyer and the Good Samaritan, Jesus says, go and do. And to Mary, he says, well done, stopping. We need to be refueled and replenished in order to carry out this service. And as you can see, it says here, love others, serve and listen. Those were the three things we've been talking about. All mushed together, need to work together. So sit and listen. And let the Lord's passion and his strength and his courage infuse you so that you can face the tough times and care for the poor. Let his compassion for other people bury itself so deeply in you that you can love the unlovable and forgive the unforgivable. Because on our own strength, it's not possible. It's really hard. So I told you at the beginning that this key of stopping and listening can unlock the different doors. So these things tuck to every part of you. You can love more deeply. You can be vulnerable to serve and minister. And you will be able to pray with abandonment that comes from a deep heart. Only one thing is needed. So I suggest today, use Mary as your role model and say no to the pressures and everything else surrounding you so you can just sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Let's pray to finish today. Father, in this world, there are so many things going on around us. Not just the social pressures, but the world views, the things that we must get done in order to survive. Help us to remember that all of that pales in comparison to sitting at your feet and listening to what you want to tell us to do, how you want us to act, how you want us to love. Please, Father, sit with us and talk to us so that we may have your strength and your courage and your compassion so we can go bless this world and share your glory and share your love in such a pain-filled place. Thank you, Father, that we've been able to have this time together and learn from your word. Please let us leave changed. In your precious name, amen. Oh yeah, and I completely agree with you, 100% agree. I just couldn't find the right one. I was on Microsoft Word going, pie graph, chart graph, this graph, that. There is none that covers all three. I was trying to get that too. You are 100% correct. It's all... Maybe I should have just painted it instead and just shown you the painting. I'm not very good at that though.
Made me think that in that journey of us trying to find the right balance, that the community that we're part of, our faith community, has an important role as well, not to distract us, but to check in with us, maybe challenge us. I mean, I know that's happened for me a few times in my journey, that someone's actually said, do you really need to be doing that? And I thought, oh yes, I mean, then thinking on it, thinking, no, I'm going to challenge that. And just that sense of what the faith community can contribute.
Absolutely. Completely agree with that.